Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. In a world where action movies are constantly exploding at the box office, our heroes take on the monumental task of dissecting and analyzing all aspects of action movies to truly understand what it takes to make a great action film. Ben Bateman, Andrew Guy, in a Popcorn Talk Network exclusive, this is Action Movie Anatomy.
Boom! Andrew dropped his pen!
I pulled one of your moves.
What's up, everybody?
What's
up? I was terrified.
Are you sweating yet? Rachi's back.
Rachi, I know.
That's ridiculous.
Keep it aired out.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Action Movie Anatomy on the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network talking movies and all things movie related. I'm your host, Ben Bateman, joined today by my trusty co-host, No Ty, today. Mr.
No
Ty. Guy.
I'm here. I'm so happy to talk about this movie. I love this movie. It was one of my favorites growing up.
They don't know what it is yet. Wait.
I know.
Let's wait.
That's why.
Well, actually, they know exactly what it is.
They should. I mean, they picked it.
And
yeah.
They clicked
Last
on.
Samurai. Okay, that's the movie. God. And we're joined not only by Miss Roxy Stryer, we'll get there, but by my beautiful sister, Sandra Reese, and her awesome friend, Susan. So they're here. They watched the movie yesterday.
For the first time?
For the first time.
And they loved
experience.
It. They have their own female fist pump moment that I cannot
wonderful.
Wait to hear about.
And speaking of watching it for the first time and female fist pump moments, we have Roxy Stryer.
What is a female fist pump moment? It's different than a male fist
Look,
pump
that's
moment?
That's what it said in the text. I'm trying to be true to them.
Okay.
Is it like your quote from the last episode, Little Male Boners?
Roxy Stryer. Yeah. Pretty similar to that. Well, thanks for having me back, guys. I really appreciate it. Took you long enough to ask, but...
Yeah, well, you know.
Look, we wanted you to be a panelist on the show permanently for a long time.
Oh, that you're so full of crap.
Yes, we are. We don't want that. It's not going to happen.
So this is The Last Samurai, 2003. It stars none other than Mr. Tom Cruise. Welcome back to the show, Tom. Give him a round of applause.
So happy you're
He's
back
in the building.
A man.
Spirit. Yeah, the spirit of Cruise. Been running in movies since 1981. That's what his Twitter says.
Last time you did a Cruise movie on the show?
I think the last time you were on. Minority Report.
Oh my gosh.
It's been a few months.
Now I feel really honored. This is good.
Yeah.
It's funny, for all the smack that people talk about Tom Cruise, they're like the most popular episodes we do.
Oh, they absolutely are.
They get like more views than anything. People love Tom Cruise.
I'm the same. I mean, I was the guy that was like, I don't really like Tom Cruise. And then I started doing the show and watching all the movies, and I love him.
And this one, once you guys see, we have a cool behind the scenes thing we'll show you later. But once you see it, it'll just make you love him that much more. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So let's get into the show. We do action movies on this show. They adhere to four basic criteria, aside from being made from 1981. Forward, number one, the hero always plays by their own rules. Rule number two, the hero and the villain are always the smartest people or things or beings or aliens or whatever in the room. Rule number three, the movie is always driven by a police, military, political, or mercenary figure. When we say political, that means he could either be the man or work for the man. And then lastly, there's always at least one explosion. So I think this movie hits the nail totally on the head,
right? Perfect. This is the perfect movie for our
like,
show.
Like, dead on.
Yeah.
It's one of those rare movies where it's a period piece and you don't even have to question it. Like,
no.
Often it happens you have to be like, does this qualify? Because it's not really like a guy in a building with a gun.
Right.
But this one's just like fully, I think.
Yeah, because this isn't even on the same level as like a Braveheart or something like that.
It's not.
It doesn't feel the same.
Even
though this movie
cheese.
Is, it's, you know, it got nominated for multiple Academy Awards and Golden Globes.
Yep.
But it still has that feel of those movies that we do.
It took me a second to think about the explosion, but that one with the arrow, oh, yeah, yeah.
That's good.
There's a lot of
them. I'm all in.
And all the flashbacks to, like, within the village and all, like, the burning and exploding.
I don't know if flashbacks count.
Village.
Yeah, well, it's in the
it's
movie.
It's in the movie.
It's a part of the movie.
Not
did you just make up
movie.
Your own rules for the show?
Yeah, I did.
Welcome. Welcome to rule number four by Roxy Stryer. Flashbacks don't count. anyway, we are on the Popcorn Talk Network. They do a bunch of other cool shows. Check the other shows out. There is Anatomy of a Movie, which streams live on Fridays. They cover all the newest movies of the week.
Mm-hmm.
There is Otaku Movie Anatomy. There is
Marvel
Movie Anatomy. Marvel.
Marvel
Movie News.
News our favorite. We love Marvel.
Yeah.
What the hell? Every time. Every single time I come on here.
Do you do other shows?
Yeah. I do another show. It's called DC Movie News. I'm doing
DC.
It today right after this.
DC Movie News?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's
you talk
a show.
About like Spider-Man and stuff? Or
it's like a Mothman.
I can't with you guys. Let's talk about something we all agree on, which is how awesome this show is.
Yeah,
okay?
Right, okay.
So DC Movie News is on the channel.
It's very good. And she's very enjoyable on it.
Yes. And lastly, we have a Twitter. We started it pretty recently. It's AMA Podcast. If you guys want to follow along and tweet at us about the movie, check it out. It's helpful to hear your thoughts. You've been very interactive with us recently, which is very fun. If you want to talk to me or Andrew or Roxy, you can follow us at Ben Bateman Media.
You can find me at Andrew Guy.
At Roxy Stryer. And I love your guys' guys' polls. I take them every time you post them. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we're going to be doing a poll later today after the show.
We are.
I'm not in the know.
More on that later. You got a 6-page outline. You're definitely in the know.
Oh.
It's good. All right, let's do this trailer. This is a good trailer.
Yeah, 100%. Great trailer.
I'm a big fan. It's got... Boom. I need another pen to throw.
Explosion.
Yeah, flashback. Doesn't count.
Did you wish that he didn't pull the trigger in the flashback?
No, because they needed to humanize him. They needed to be on the level.
They needed him to hate himself.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I also like that they don't do the shoot me in the headline in the trailer.
Oh, they shouldn't.
Yeah, I thought they might, but...
Oh, Katsumoto.
I actually think it would have been smart if they did.
We will pay you $400 a month.
And it's Fitzgerald Grant.
Oh, man, I hate him so much.
Tony Golan?
Mr. Omura.
Oh, yeah, Omura. This movie's so awesome.
Oh, it's so good.
I feel so bad for the horse.
I know, a lot of horses died.
Yeah.
No one, but no horses got hurt filming.
He doesn't even flinch.
Would you?
No.
You kept me alive just to speak English?
Then what do you want?
To know my enemy.
I have questions.
Which one's gone later?
Maybe I should have ranked Katsumoto.
I can't believe he didn't. He's so good. Man, let's not even do the show. Let's just go watch this.
Let's go watch the movie again.
Yeah, I'm over it. I don't want to do this today.
This would be a fun watch along, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with the words. Like, in the heart of one man.
I know.
So
I hate
weird.
When they do that.
Well, this is like 03. All those trailers.
They're,
remember,
they're on their way out of it, but they still do it.
Uh-huh.
The Bourne trailer is like was like really bad too.
Arigato. Okawari.
Arigato.
Okawari. That's my favorite line.
When I took this, you were my enemy.
My enemy.
Did you watch this or something?
I've been waiting for this moment for 20 years.
This is like Pete Cruz. Did we guys talk about that?
This is the absolute pinnacle.
She's so pretty.
0106.
Yeah, she's very pretty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good trailer. It's a good trailer.
It's one of the best ones we've seen from that time period.
100%, yeah. It doesn't rely on any of the stupid crap that a lot of them do.
Yeah.
A little bit.
As a slave.
Yeah, that's horrible. So, yes, that was the trailer for The Last Samurai, 2003. We are going to be doing something brand new. Well, it's not brand new anymore. We've probably done it about 5 times.
Mm.
But it's newer.
I was like,
show.
Oh, shit. What are we doing?
So this is called Action Movie Tagline. When we were kids, we would go to the movie store and we would see the VHS boxes all lined up on the shelf. And it would be like, you know, they'd have little taglines on them. It would be like a slam-bang action thriller or like a non-stop adrenaline thrill ride.
A family man turned killer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And sometimes they'd be a little longer, you know, to this face-off in a world, blah, blah, blah. So we come up with our own now that we would pitch if we were doing like our own little like tagline on the back of the box. The ones on the back of the box are always a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The ones on the front were just like the little quote by the New York Times. Roxy's laughing over there. Do you like yours?
You must be
pretty
not,
proud of it.
No, it's not that it's that good. It's that I'm about to get so goofy for the next 45 minutes. Like everything I'm about to bring to the table is like just really silly.
I can't wait.
But,
that's good.
But I wholeheartedly believe in.
Yeah,
I have to clarify.
No one
silliness is legitimate.
I have like you told me like a little bit about your thesis statement, and unless you changed it,
no,
it's a delight.
Yeah, and I actually have a music cue that will be coming along with
a music cue.
You tag with the song?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I already spoke with our engineer. You know, I know someone who knows someone.
I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first for action movie tagline? Oh yeah, by the way, you have to read it in the voice. So there's two different voices.
Oh, are we gonna do it?
Yeah,
I'm gonna
I
do the night.
So.
Yeah,
the night. Well, yeah. So the '90s voice is more like this.
In a world where man.
Yeah, the '80s voice.
No, guys.
The '80s voice is more like two men trapped in the jungle.
How are they going to get out?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta choose.
All right, Rox, which one are you gonna do?
Oh, well, I don't have to pick right now.
I want you to do the '80s voice.
No. Either way, it's gonna be so bad. My voices are so weird. Like, you're not gonna know which one I even picked.
They all sound like a leprechaun.
No, a little bit like Kermit the Frog sometimes. Or like,
in a world where a man came.
Well, Rox, if you want to do it not in, you know.
I'll do my best.
All right, I'm going to hop in. I'm okay. Tired of this.
Go right ahead.
A captain turned prisoner. A prisoner turned samurai. A samurai who defied an empire. Tom Cruise, Ken Watanabe, the last samurai.
I like it.
It's good.
That was really
I
good.
Stole it directly from Gladiator. It was really? 100% stolen from Gladiator.
That's just the, yeah?
That's their tagline.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Are you being
yeah,
serious?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Slave
it's
turn.
It's a slave turn, or it's a general turn slave, slave turn gladiator who defined an empire.
That, yeah, I knew it sounded familiar. Yeah, too good to be true.
Is yours worse than that? Because I can't top his, so I'm hoping you go down a little bit. And
mine's
then...
probably a
this
little
is
worse.
Usually okay, worse. Good. Yeah. It's like a thing.
I have to see if I can read my own handwriting. Okay, yeah.
Now that you've started to write things down, you can't read what you've written.
Okay, here we go.
Two warriors from different worlds collide and tell the story Ed Zwick was born to direct. From the studio that brought you Risky Business, An Interview with a Vampire, Tom Cruise is The Last Samurai. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that's your best one you've had yet.
The that voice was legitimate.
The voice was dead on, right?
The voice was terrifying.
That was my Batman voice.
No, it was good.
Thank you.
Did it was really the same studio?
Yeah, I looked up
all
the options. I really wanted them to be like better movies than Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, that was a tough pick. Yeah. That was a tough poll.
I didn't have a lot of choices. Edge of Tomorrow came out like 12 years later. I couldn't use it.
You could. Sometimes they re-release these things.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
I should have.
On the DVD box. Uh-huh. Totally would have been there.
All right, Rob, stop stalling.
Okay, yeah, I totally am ready.
In a world.
It's not about how many times you can get knocked down. It's not even about how many times you get up. It's about how willing you are to stab yourself and let someone else chop your head off. No, this is coming from
what
my
is
this
happening?
Is coming from my thesis. Hold on.
You gave me the
she's hijacked the show and ruined it. No, that was like Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat. That was the taste of things to come. A taste of things to come.
I get knocked out.
Yeah, pretty good.
That was pretty good, right?
In all fairness,
say the same words.
In all fairness, Mark, my tagline and my thesis are very similar, so I can see how you got confused. With
she's like, Mark, when I blink seven times in a row, play the song.
I've been counting.
Very good, sir. Very good.
That was good. That was very good.
All right. Well, that was great. So let's move on to the next bit of the
things
show, guys.
To come.
Fist pump moment. So we've alluded greatly to fist pump moment. This is something we've been doing since the very beginning of the show. This is that moment when you're watching a movie and something happens in the movie and all of a sudden you just have this moment where like you look around on the couch, you're like, is anybody else seeing this right now? This is so awesome.
Yeah.
I get to watch the rest of this movie right now.
We did
look
that like
veins.
Six I know, like popping out. It was
exciting.
We did this like six times when we watched this together.
Yeah.
We even paused the movie to watch basketball and then came back and I was like, oh my.
Yeah,
it's back.
This is so exciting.
I was so excited.
Yeah, well, because like you know, the deal is like it can be anything. It doesn't just have to be like a one liner. It doesn't have to be like an explosion or a headshot. It could legitimately be like the moment when the credits roll at the beginning of the movie.
Anything. It could be literally anything that happens in the movie that makes you that excited that you're watching it.
It could be something as like subtle as like a sound cue between scenes of a movie you've seen 30 times.
Yep.
And that one cue gets you so excited for what's about to happen that you're just like, yes! Before it even changes.
A heartfelt look between a father and son,
yes.
Maybe?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
I want to hear yours.
Okay. So,
we get
to tease the thing today.
What is it?
We already teased it. We get to give the actual date, right?
Oh, we get to double tease it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
it's
still
really
know
exciting.
Nothing.
We talked about Warrior and what's going to be happening.
Oh, yeah.
We already shared it on the show.
All right. So we have a date. We have a date set in stone.
Let's hold it. Let's tease it at the pitch.
There is one.
But you don't get to know it till the end of the show.
I'm so excited.
So fist pump moment, guys.
Yes.
Who wants to start with fist pump moment?
I want you to start.
All right.
This one.
It's tough because there's like, but what I decided to go with was the ultimate action scene, which we don't do on here anymore.
Right.
We usually clip it. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually just going to cue it because we have the movie clip up of it right now.
Do we?
But this is absolutely my fist pump moment when he is, he's in the village and he gets ambushed.
Yeah.
And now he's actually a samurai. You don't know actually how good he is yet.
Yeah, you don't know. You think he's just been a prisoner the whole time.
Yeah.
Or they think.
Yeah, and you sort of, as the audience, you're like, he's pretty good, you know, he was like...
He tied Ojio.
Yeah, exactly. Tied him, but
it's
like...
Big deal.
In a real battle with like four dudes at him, like, what's he going to do?
Without a weapon.
Yeah, so he reaches for his gun there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it's in his suitcase.
Because part of me thinks that he was reaching like for his sword, like they come up
right. No, it's his gun.
So cool.
This is like where, what's his name? Director of Sherlock?
Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie. Like, this is probably where he got, like, did the Lock Stock already come out in Snatch? Because I like how they come back to the whole fight, because it happens so fast.
Yeah, they were before this. Snatch might have been right, like, the year or two before. Mm-hmm.
Ah, so good.
Yeah, it's so cool.
The look. This is like an iconic look.
It's so awesome. Just like peak Cruz. Just
perfect. Like, how am I going to kill all these people?
What's going on behind him?
You sort of think you're like, okay, so they showed it a second time literally just so you could see how awesome it was.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%, which is ridiculous.
Which is what makes it our type of movie.
Yeah. Like, you're like, you're watching, you're like, oh, he's picturing what just happened because it all went so fast. But really, they just wanted you to get to watch it.
No, but now he's not having nightmares. Now he's having flashbacks of things that just happened. Not like happened.
So it counts.
Right.
So this counts. If there's an explosion right now.
And this guy you always think is like a samurai turn
something.
Yeah.
He's got a sweet birthmark on his face. It's like the equivalent of a scar below his eye.
I don't know if it's
sweet.
And
the samurai will fall.
Oh, we're finished.
If you're going to quote it.
You have to say it in Japanese. All right, so let's cue. So now, here's what I want to do. Cue up the other clip right after, which is why this is my fist bump. Not only is that amazingly awesome.
And why how just amazing Tom Cruise is.
Yeah, this is like unbelievable. It's from a B-roll behind the scenes, like Steadicam, just like somebody holding a camera.
Mm-hmm.
It was me.
It was Roxy.
He legit does the thing in one take,
one perfect take,
and he just did it over and over again. Like, but like he just executes the whole move.
Should we add sound effects?
I don't know. It's just perfect.
Isn't that cool? And then watch this. He stands up, and he just gets up, and he's immediately Cruise laughing.
I did it!
that's kind of endearing.
Yeah, like, right?
Yeah,
I like that part.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at what I do.
This is the coolest thing in the world. So that's my fist bump moment.
That's a 100%. Great fist bump moment. It's really good.
I was close on another one, but I'm not going to say it, because I'll bet you it's one of yours.
Then we'll let Rox go next.
Okay.
I have two.
Mine happened around 47 minutes and 36 seconds into the film.
Around.
And it was the moment where he's out in with all the mud and the rain, and he keeps getting up, and the sword keeps getting knocked out, and he keeps picking it up, and keeps picking it up, and you just see, like, he's the most resilient man of all time, and he's not going to let go of that sword, and he's not going to stay down. It was less of a fist pump and more of a, like, scoop, like, get
scoop,
up.
Scoop pump.
Yeah, sure. Scoop, okay. A female fist scoop.
I don't think we want that on our show.
Yeah,
we're going
to
leave that out.
I was trying to incorporate the female fist pump. Oh, I didn't do a good thing.
There will be no female fist scooping on this episode, just to let everyone know that's watching. And on audio, that hasn't happened. So,
good fist scoop, Rox.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
All right, if I had to pick one scene to scoop with my fist, it would be... Oh. It's the sweet flip of the sword and the throw
to kill the colonel. Tony Golden,
whatever he is, a lieutenant. That moment as a kid, I would watch it over and over because I hated that guy.
Of course.
Like, that was one of the things about me, and you know that about me with action movies and like how bad the bad guy is and how much you really hate him.
Yeah.
That guy hasn't done anything really this whole movie.
Yeah.
Other than just confirm that he was following orders, but how much Cruise hates him and how like far it takes him to the depths. Because of, like, what they had to do. It just makes you hate the guy.
What do you mean as a kid, though? This is something you legitimately did as a kid? Or you're saying if you were a kid, you would watch this over and over again?
No, I'm saying when I was a kid, I watched that specific part over and over because I thought it was so sweet.
Yeah. So you've seen this movie a bajillion times.
I've seen this movie as many times as The Patriot. But I haven't seen it in, like, 10 years.
I just watched it
relentlessly.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys have a fist pump moment, don't you? They do. All right, I got to hear it. What is it?
Okay,
ours. Oh, you got it.
You got to pull this down. I know it's not sexy.
Our fist pump isn't as detailed. Mine was in the very last, second to the last battle when a guy gets shot right in the junk.
Right? So, in the jungle.
Female fist pump.
That's a good one.
Fist scoop.
Andrew kind of stole mine, so I'll go with the one where the guy got cut right down the middle.
Yeah, oh, that was real cool.
We're kidding. We're kidding. These are not the female fist pump. We got real female fist pump.
Oh, do you?
So mine, of course, is just when he comes back at the end for her.
Oh, yeah. It's adorable. Because their relationship throughout the movie, they never cross the boundary of it being uncomfortable.
Right.
Holding back.
It's very respectful. Yeah. All right. Do you have another one?
Okay. Mine is when he, in the middle, he helps her carry the basket. And she says, Japanese men don't usually help with these things. And he says, I am not Japanese.
Yeah.
Does he fist pump?
No, he doesn't.
He's Tom Cruise.
He's Tom Cruise.
Those are the female fist pumps.
All right.
My female fist pump moment is...
Oh. You fist pulled. No, but pump.
My female fist pump moment is when she's like looking at Tom Cruise playing with the kids. And she's like, my husband's dead. But he got replaced with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he's so my dad. Sweet. Yeah, he's my new dad.
You see that on her face?
Roxy's not entertained.
No, I have a really hard time with some of the plot of this movie. As
really?
Much as I love this movie, it's very challenging for me to accept that this guy murdered in battle her husband, then goes to live
the
with
way
her
of the samurai.
And the kids, and then they end up with that like kiss, right. And she goes back.
Let's hold off because our thesis statements might reveal some of this. We're going to do thesis statement, and then we're going to get into star profile.
He even says it was a good death.
Yeah, definitely. It's
a great death.
Thesis statement is that moment where you, it's not a moment.
It's not a moment at all.
It's a thing you come up with. It's like your strong argument, your bold statement that kind of you believe throughout the whole movie. It can relate to any number of things.
What do you have over there?
No, I know what Roxy has over there. We already heard A Taste of Things to Come.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she, yeah. Okay.
But anyway, this is supposed to be your strong argument. Usually kind of rooted in hyperbole. It's not like, shouldn't be something like, this is my favorite thing that Tom Cruise was ever in. It should be really much more like, this is the only time this ever happened, or this is the greatest this ever. Something big that you can really stick with. So, does somebody want to go first?
Yeah, I'm going to go first on this one.
Go right ahead.
And my thesis is that this is Tom Cruise's most overlooked and underrated movie in his entire career.
His entire career? That's a tough sell.
It's not. How many people do you ever talk to when you ask them about Tom Cruise movies? Do they ever talk about this movie?
Yeah, never.
He almost won a Golden Globe for it.
Yeah.
This movie was Academy... Blah, blah. It was critically acclaimed. It's a phenomenal movie. No one talks about it. I forgot about it, and I love it.
By almost won, you mean was nominated?
Yeah.
Four nominations.
But do you know that he like got in second or something?
Yeah, he got second place. Okay. It was like seven votes.
Got it.
It's not true.
He didn't get nominated for an Oscar.
No.
Ken did.
Ken Watanabe.
In his first ever English-speaking role. Yeah, it's
I think
amazing.
He deserved it, too.
He was incredible. His crying, his like pained crying throughout the movie, so good.
Yeah, he's really good. I was thinking for my thesis, I was trying to come up with arguments that were up against the other Oscar contenders that year, but basically there's nothing you can do because Return of the King won that year.
Yeah.
So like, didn't matter how good this movie was going to be.
Doesn't matter.
It was impossible. There was no way that Lord of the Rings...
You can't win cinematography or sound or anything, picture, over Lord of the Rings.
It's just because it was the third one. Like, they had to give all the awards to it.
Well, have you seen it?
Yeah, it's an amazing movie. So I just mean, it didn't matter if it was, like, not as good as the second and first one. It was going to win every award. It was even mediocre because, like, they just... Otherwise, they were going to ignore
it. It was like a journey that everyone in the world had gone on for 3 years.
It's a totally fair argument. I was just trying to think, like...
Like, what other of his movies that are, like, this good do people just not talk about?
Historically, the ones that are, like, sort of overlooked, I think Color of Money comes to mind.
I was
going to
say, Color of Money is the only one that I could think maybe.
I think I agree with you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm in on that.
Yeah, I mean, Color of Money, he won the Oscar, Paul Newman did. Mm-hmm. So, like, in some ways, that movie gets remembered, and it's the sequel to The Hustler.
And it's like it's Paul Newman.
Yeah.
You know, like, Tom Cruise is great in it, and it's obviously him a lot, but it's like, back then, it was like Paul Newman. That's why people watched it.
I think he won the Oscar. Is that for The Verdict? No, it was for that. Yeah, it was for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, so my thesis statement is related to it being overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, you think about this movie. If you're going to make this movie, well, okay, the first thing I'll say is this. Like, this movie is not remembered in the way that the people that made it want it to be. They wanted this movie to be on the level of Braveheart, of Gladiator, Dances with Wolves, Glory. Historical epics that have a badass leading man, and, you know, all kinds of Oscar nominations. They want this to be in that upper echelon.
Mm-hmm.
It never will, and it never could have been because of when it was made and who it was made with.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you were to, like,
do we just want to talk about recast right now so it helps you along with your thesis?
No. I'm just trying to think about phrasing it, and I'm also thinking if it's better to just save that for recast because I had essentially like the. They're all
What's
related.
What's going on?
Yeah, what are you doing over there?
They're all related. All right, all right. I'll switch it up. I'll switch it up. In the pitch meeting, this is the most preposterous pitch for a Tom Cruise movie that's ever existed.
Why? Because he's the Last Samurai? Because he's not the Last Samurai.
Doesn't
that's
matter.
Not the point.
You go into the pitch meeting and you say to the people, here's what we're going to do. You have an embattled soldier mm-hmm. who kills a woman's husband in battle, is taken captive by her brother-in-law.
Okay, this is why he didn't want me to go on that rant.
Lives with her in the village, is trained as a samurai by the man who spared his life.
But she wants to kill herself the whole time.
Is Tom Cruise and is supposed to be taken seriously as a samurai by the end of the movie. By the way, we're going to spend $140 million on this and hope it succeeds.
You know, that happened. That pitch meeting happened. They were like, okay.
Yeah, probably.
Let's do it.
That's really my thesis, because the other one will just be saved for recast.
Okay.
But I don't think there's another movie in his entire catalog that in the pitch meeting is more preposterous. I celebrate
the guy's entire catalog.
Eyes Wide Shut is the other one that I can think of that is, like, close.
Yeah.
But even Eyes Wide Shut is, like, it's a Kubrick movie with a small budget,
yeah.
So you can get away with it. You have to spend $140 million on the idea that people are going to take Tom Cruise seriously as a samurai.
And it worked.
Yeah, dead on.
It did.
Nailed it.
Yeah. All right. Do we have the song queued up? Did you rewind the cassette tape?
All right, guys. Here we go. The Last Samurai is essentially the song we're about to hear in movie form. And I'm going to explain why. So this is what we get. Chumbawamba singing Tub Thumping.
You can just play it low volume in the background if you want to watch it talk.
She does this whole thing.
So we start with We'll Be Singing When We're Winning, which makes perfect sense because the samurai's whole thing about, like, their victory and they're going to just keep going. I get knocked down, I get up again. Okay, we see that actually happen, like, many times. And this song was playing in my head while I watched that consistently happen. He drinks a whiskey drink, he drinks a vodka drink, he drinks a lager drink, he drinks a cider drink. So, like, if they just said, like, he drinks a sake drink, it would have been perfect.
Yeah, right.
But because of the sake, like, all that, that kept happening. But then he did have the whiskey, too. He's, like, totally exactly that. And drink the whiskey drink?
No, when does he piss the night away?
Oh, he's, like, always pissing the night away. Like, he's pissing and moaning, like, bitching,
okay,
not,
yep.
like, actually
gotcha,
pissing.
Gotcha.
But he is. He's like,
yeah,
oh, my God,
he's
my
dying.
Life. Yeah, he's dying, and he, like, needs help and stuff. Okay, and then there's this one part in there that says, oh, Danny Boy, and I Urban Dictionary Danny Boy, and it's a person who knows what you're thinking by just reading your expressions or looking into your eyes. Nailed it. I think that there's a woman in this movie who would agree with me also, because she definitely felt.
Oh, Taka.
Yeah.
She's great.
And then it goes, don't cry
Roxy
for me.
Roxy loves Taka.
I love
Taka. Her too. Yeah.
She's so cute. Then it says, don't cry for me, next door neighbor, which is like pretty much the whole thing. They're neighbors and they're like, whatever. Mm. So I'm pretty positive that this was actually a perfect version of this song.
I am blown away right now.
The strangest thing that's ever happened
like,
on the show.
Like, most accurate, weirdest
perfectly
statement.
Accurate.
It was really good.
Thank you.
Like, really, you were starting way down here with me.
Danny Boy.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that this song came on and, like, sold you out earlier, I was like, this is not going to be good.
But
this is
going to
be really
this
bad.
This is going to be a fail.
I have to excuse Mark for playing it earlier, because I did have pretty much the same tagline.
Yeah, what the hell?
Talking about getting knocked down and getting up again. So, you know.
All right, guys. Those are our... That was good.
It's very good.
It was really good.
Impressive.
That's why you guys
have
me on the show.
That's the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into star profiles. We can talk about where these guys were in their career. I think we'll start with Watanabe just quickly, because there's not going to be a whole lot for us to say about
I can't
this.
Even pronounce his movies other than try.
It's T-R-Y.
I know.
Yeah.
There's another battle.
Hiwa,
slash conspiracy.
Hiwamata Noboru. Yeah, in 2002.
Oh, and God, guy.
So, anyway, he was a big deal in Japan.
He was huge.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Huge movie star. Mm-hmm. And this was his first English-speaking movie. He killed it. He ended up only really in a few other, like, big-time English-speaking movies. Inception comes to mind.
Inception's, like, his other really big role. But he's been around. He's done a lot of stuff.
I think he is so talented.
He's incredible.
He's in Batman Begins, right? Isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He dies real quick.
Yeah, right?
I think he's Ra's al Ghul.
I think so.
Yeah, he's the fake Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the real one.
My sister's like, yes, that's right. I know.
The real one is
Mason.
Yeah.
I can picture it now.
Yes, because that was shortly after this movie. I mean, that was probably the next year. Two years later? 2005.
That was the biggest spoiler alert.
What?
What you just said.
That he's the fake Rachel Ghul?
Yeah.
It's not okay. I was in. This is the total side
Sorry
note.
About that. I was selling out a movie from 11 years
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. I was at lunch the other day.
Liam Neeson. It's mean.
I was at lunch the other day, and this daughter that was probably older than us by at least 5 years.
Whose daughter?
This guy's daughter. It was a guy and his daughter.
Liam Neeson's daughter.
No, Liam Neeson's not involved.
Robert
Goldstein. Tub-thumbing anyone? Tom Cruise was there? Okay, it's like a 75-year-old dad and his like 35-year-old daughter, and she's like yelling at him in this restaurant over giving away the plot to The Graduate.
Yeah.
I mean, it came out 40 years ago.
There's got to be like some sort of time.
It came out 50, just shy of.
Yeah. Like
49
get
years
a grip.
Ago.
Anyway, we'll move on to Tom Cruise now. You know what? No, I'm going to do this real quick. We do our top five every week on this show, guys, and I wrote this in the outline, and I wasn't sure if it was a good idea or not because it seems impossible to
top
do.
Five. Well, let's cover his three previous, and then we'll hit our top five, right?
What are you doing right now?
What?
I'm in the middle of a thing.
Well, shouldn't we cover where he was?
Yeah, yeah,
that's
go ahead.
That's what we're doing on the show, right?
I want to know what the thing is.
We're going to do top five Cruise movies.
Ben will tell us.
I'm part of
the
thing.
Apparently.
Do you want to finish your thought?
No, please, God, continue.
We're going to do top five Cruise movies in just a second,
guys.
You're
such an asshole. I hate this show.
But we're going to do Star Profiles Tom Cruise first. We should just remind you of exactly where he was when this movie came out. So 2000, 2001, 2002, he had one film apiece prior to this movie coming out of three. Mission Impossible 2, Vanilla Sky, and Minority Report. When we talk about peak Cruise, I think this is like indicative of it. I think 2000 really through 2006.
This is like peak movie star action hero Cruise.
Yeah, because
he's done with the drama.
Yeah, it's like weird, right? He's transitioning because you could say that like Collateral's really good,
yeah,
and that's the next year. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously really good, and he is going for kind of. I'm sure when they made this movie, they were all thinking,
they were hoping that he could get,
yeah,
something.
Like, and it's not that far from. But you also watch it, and you're like, it's really as great as he is. It's still hard.
It's not the same as what he was doing.
Yeah,
you know, like in the late '90s,
like in '03. By contrast, Russell Crowe did Master and Commander, which is like. It's a different kind of movie, but it has a similar feel of a guy that's almost a little too big to play that kind of a historical role and be taken that seriously anymore.
Yeah.
And they're both great, but in both cases, you're just like, I'm a little over this guy gunning for an Oscar. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Because what happened with Crowe was different than Cruise, because Crowe did Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
Like almost immediately afterwards. And that, it was when Master and Commander came out, it was like, this is too much.
Exactly.
Because it was all drama. Like,
he was
I
doing
want an Oscar drama.
Yeah.
Why D-Day Lou is like a genius, because he's like, I'm just going to do maybe every 6 years and I'm going to win.
100%. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Mission Impossible 2 is a little trashy.
The best movie I've ever seen.
It's called Trashy?
Hunt.
Yeah.
I love that.
The Chimera Virus.
Yeah, it's sweet, but
that's,
I mean,
good.
You know, the Vanilla Sky is like, I think, pretty divided for people.
Love it.
It's good, but it's weird.
Yeah, it's okay. I think it's got its moments, and then it's also got moments where it just feels really like clunky and weird.
It has like a 6.5 stars on IMDb, so I think most people didn't like it as much as I did.
Yeah, yeah. It's like medium. And then a lot of people compare it to because it's a remake of a Spanish movie. But
right.
And then Minority Report, which we did last time on the show.
Love
fucking
that movie.
Sweet.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Very good movie.
So yeah, he was definitely like peaking. Like this is like, I guess 03, 04, 05, 06, the movies were Last Samurai, Collateral, War of
the Worlds,
Mission Impossible 3.
Yeah, and that's when he peaked.
Yeah.
And Mission Impossible 3 is like the definition because no one cares.
Yeah.
No one wanted to see it. Everyone was over him. No one likes people jumping on couches.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Do you want to introduce the next section, Drew?
No, I don't. I don't even remember what
really
we were talking
you
about.
I really want you to.
Would you please introduce
We're just going to do the top five roles of Tom Cruise.
I'm sorry, what was that?
We're just top five.
Would you speak up, please?
It's the top five Tom Cruise roles. For us.
I'm not sure what to do with my hands.
Good job, honey.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, no. So what we're doing is we do a top five every single week, or we have been recently, and we love Tom Cruise on the show. You guys know that. He's our mascot. He's our spirit animal.
He's a spirit animal of the show.
So this week we're going to do our top five Tom Cruise roles. Now that doesn't necessarily coincide with the best movies, but it's our favorite because he's awesome in it.
It's
Are you
close.
Guys in order?
Yeah, I ranked them.
I actually didn't rank mine.
No, ranking is too tough.
I know, but I had to do it.
I didn't have to.
Didn't either.
The reason that you can do roles or movies is because, and I think most of the time it'll be movies, but there are some where it's like the role is totally separate from the movie and you just go with it.
Well, this one is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie is incredible, but he doesn't blow me away in it.
Yeah.
But this is one of my top five Cruise roles.
Really?
Movies, yeah.
Last
I love
Samurai.
This movie. I've seen this movie so many times.
Wow, impressive.
What?
It's like a Jewish mother there. That's what I just did.
So not one of your favorite roles of his, but one of your favorite movies of his.
Yeah, but it's still going in my top five Cruise roles because it's basically like if I had to pick five Cruise movies that I can only watch for the rest of my life that he's in because of that, it would be one of them.
Okay. And we know you love Tom Cruise. You guys didn't rank, so I'm the only one that ranked.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
It was like Sophie's choice.
So why don't we just you do one at a time? I'll be the only one that goes backwards order.
Sure.
Okay.
That works.
So your Last Samurai, that'll be for your first one.
Yeah.
All right. Rox, what do you got?
Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire is my number one Cruise movie of all time.
Is it really?
You started with your number one?
I'm saying, you said it. You already said it.
Okay.
He's the cruisiest of the cruise.
Yeah.
That's where he is absolute cruisiest.
It's even more so than Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah. I love Jerry Maguire so goddamn much.
Yeah, I love that
he's
movie.
Incredible.
And Cuba is so good in it.
It's not my favorite movie of his. It's the best role of his.
When I had my Tom Cruise themed costume party this last year for my birthday. Yes, that's a thing that happened.
It's a thing I dressed up.
Cruise Corner.
Yeah, Cruise Corner. You
wore that suit.
I did, because, we always costumes. Collateral, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The gray hair, yeah, I remember that.
I was looking for, like, soundtrack songs, you know, to put on the soundtrack, and I came across Secret Garden, which is the song that's playing in the background. It's the Springsteen song.
Uh-huh.
When he says, "You complete me."
Yeah.
And I listened to the song on repeat for, like, 2 weeks.
Cried.
It's great so good. Song. Yeah, great song, and it fits the movie so well. Such a good movie. All right, what do you guys got for number two?
So my next one I'm going to do, I might as well just say Jerry Maguire, since we all said it already.
Okay.
That's another one of mine.
Okay, Ethan Hunt.
Which one?
No, but it's roles.
But which you're movie?
Just mixing things up here. Which is the best Mission Impossible movie? Which Mission Impossible movie?
I can't answer it. No. No, I don't think that. But
just
I think
role.
That, yeah, his role.
But that's five movies.
Yeah, but it's the same role.
It's different. Different.
You guys should have clarified with me. This should have been a text
message. I'm sorry, you've only done the show five times.
But this is a new section for me. It's new.
You've ruined the show with Chumbawamba and this.
And I got that whiny voice going on, too. Yeah. God damn it.
All right, that's fair.
All right, what do you got?
Offhand, what's your favorite Mission Impossible?
I don't know.
All right, fine.
Maybe this. I don't know.
Did you almost say the second one?
No.
Oh, I would love that.
I don't know.
She's on the spot. She can't do it.
Go.
I don't know.
My number five. So now I'll go backwards, five through two.
Okay.
Edge of Tomorrow. Live, Die, Repeat.
That's good.
I love it
so
much.
It got
much.
Edged out on mine.
Nice.
See what I did there?
Good pun.
I used Edge.
Edge of Tomorrow was the very first episode of Action Movie Dynamite Roxy ever did. It was the second episode of the show.
It was the sweatiest I've ever gotten on camera for anything.
Some wonderful screen caps you can grab from that episode if you want to just troll Andrew on Twitter.
You thought her fist scoop moment was bad. Go about 45 minutes into the Edge of Tomorrow episode, and you can unfollow me on
Twitter.
It looks
like I'm spraying Andrew with a garden hose during the episode.
Well, if you guys have seen that movie, was it Bedazzled? Is that the Brendan?
Uh-huh, yeah. Brendan Fraser, yeah.
So he wishes he could be a professional basketball player, and he's, like, getting interviewed, and there's just buckets of water pouring down his head the whole time. That was basically me for the last half of that
the best.
Episode. So instead of that movie, I put in Minority Report.
You put it in.
It's so good. There's something about Cruise, and that's why Last Samurai makes it, too. And I forgot to mention that when I say it. There's something about him when he's the everyman that is beaten and broken and an addict. He does it so well, and he's so real and just, like, it's just raw and I don't know. I don't know why I connect with it, but I love it.
I completely agree. He was on my list too.
Minority Report?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love Minority Report. It got edged out.
Like him watching the videos in the beginning. Yeah. It's like tear jerking. So, yeah, it's amazing.
So good.
Yeah.
It got Edged of Tomorrowed out.
Yeah. I already did that.
He made the joke already.
Oh, you did it?
Oh my God.
You missed that?
No, well, I remember.
Can we just cut and start the whole thing over again?
It was just a second ago.
I'm having a stroke. Goddamn. I thought I really was brilliant there, but I probably just heard you.
You did. You're like, that's funny. I'm going to say that now.
Oh, God.
I'm going to start sweating.
Yeah. Chumble on anyone?
Yeah. All right. Might as well turn the AC off while we're at it. It's going to be a badass. Don't do that. Don't turn off the AC.
All right. So you guys, Minority was top 10 for me. I had to start with 10 and then whittle the 5 off.
Yeah.
And that was at the back half.
Okay.
Collateral, number 4 for me.
Really?
Yeah.
It's good. I mean, I feel like that's the same as My Last Samurai.
Except it's the role, I think. Collateral is like, I think,
changing the rules.
Well, the role's so, like, whatever, isn't it?
No. It's so good.
He's just like a cruisy hitman.
No, he's amazing. I think the role is good. Better than the movie.
He Golden Globe nod. He was this close to the Oscar nod. He's the number one on the list of the snubs.
Well, when you're on screen with an Academy Award winner, it's hard to upstage him.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx.
I hate that more than anything.
He got the supporting nod for that movie.
I know.
Yeah. The worst. Yeah. But no. Cruise is, as Vincent in that movie, that's easily a top 5 role.
Yeah.
So good.
He's pretty sweet. His hair is incredible.
And the action. We'll probably do it on the show at some
point. We should.
It's a little dramatic, but it's got some awesome action.
No, we could do it.
Yeah.
So my next one, there's two. They're both so good. I'm going to do Magnolia.
Okay.
That's going to be my next one because You don't see that side of Cruise ever, and he's so good. And that interview specifically with him and the reporter is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because he's such a dick. Yeah. But and then like when she starts to like break through his outer walls when he shuts down,
yeah.
It's just so real. And that's one of those things about Paul Thomas Anderson. I think not that Tom Cruise isn't a good actor. I think he can make anyone an incredible actor.
Yeah.
Like Marlon Wayans in Requiem for a Dream, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know? It's just mind blowing.
Yeah. I'm with you. That was very close to making my top five, but didn't quite. Cruise and Risky Business did, though.
Yeah.
So.
He's good in that.
That's my number three.
It's your number three?
Risky Business. And my number two is Magnolia.
Okay.
So that's.
So you're done.
That's my three and my two.
Okay.
So you guys will do the last two. I mean, Risky Business has a strong argument as the best Cruise movie and role of all time.
Yeah, it really does. It's on my honorable. The Color of Money and Risky Business are on my honorable mentions.
Yeah. Like, Risky, like, when I was thinking about the list, I was like, I almost feel like I need to put this because it's the oldest of any movie we've talked about on the whole list, but it holds up better than any 80s movie Cruise ever did. Like, it's timelessly entertaining, and it'll be entertaining to every audience, to every generation.
That's the part, every audience. I can watch that movie with almost anybody.
Yeah. Right.
It's just great. Like, it feels right. It's like he's just – it's funny. And it's like – it's crazy, too, when you watch that movie. Now, he's been a movie star for so long.
Yeah.
For so long. He's a kid. Straight up a child in that movie.
But he's still got it.
And he's still there. And that's what's crazy.
That's when you see it. You're like, look at this guy.
You're watching and you're like, I can't believe – if I was watching this when it first came out, that I would be looking at this and being like, this guy's a movie star, but – how big is he really going to be?
Right.
And then he turns out to be basically it's like the equivalent of ever. Like
watching Leo grow up.
Too. Yeah. It's the you same never could have known.
See the two.
Yeah.
That's like watching Michael B. Jordan right now. I'm telling you.
That's true. I mean, I think he's going to be big.
Yeah. I've thought so since The Wire. I've thought so all. Yeah. He's going to be huge.
And you look at The Wire and Creed and Fantastic Four, anybody? I mean, right?
Little show I like to call Friday Night Lights.
yeah.
Really good.
Little band I like to call Chumbawamba.
All right. My last one, it's Mission Impossible 3, Ethan Hunt, come on.
You put it on there, okay.
It's not first, but this countdown.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say.
The top 10, yeah.
Top 10.
Count to 10.
The best.
Is there one your favorite?
Huh? Yeah, it's the de facto best one.
I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
On my last day at the bar when I was blacked out and somebody took a video of me, like, writhing in a chair and was asking me, like, Q&A.
This is a real story.
This is a real story. And the thing, they're like, do you want a burrito? I'm like, no. And they're like, do you want to talk? I'm like, no. They're like, do you want to watch Top Gun? They're like, what's the best Mission Impossible? Like, three!
Like, why? Count like, to 10.
Unconscious. But like, just
Top Gun didn't even make your list, though.
It shouldn't. The movie sucks.
I like Top Gun, but.
But you want to watch it.
But more than at the time that I wanted a burrito, yeah.
Oh.
All right.
That's something. Maybe that should be the next list. Okay, well, I still have one left. And it's him in Tropic Thunder, which made my top five.
That's so funny because.
Les Grossman.
Yeah. I thought about it. It's so good.
It's definitely in my top five of his roles. Not the movie, but the roles.
Stop. Just stop.
I just keep having to clarify so nobody thinks I'm saying Tropic Thunder is one of my favorite movies.
No. I'm pretty sure the audience is very clear about what's happening right now.
Okay, now.
We don't know what we're doing. That's what's happening.
All right. Edged out.
Yeah, it's good. You now have already made that joke, actually.
Twice.
It's good.
When? Don't believe you.
All right. Production development. Let's get into this.
I think we'll be a little pretty quick about it today. We're a little short on we're going, time because we're spending a little too much time on the fun stuff.
Yeah.
So
every time I come on, man.
You're so fun.
Production development,
558 people died. That's it. That's all we're going to talk about.
The big cool stuff to pay attention to, obviously, as you saw in the making of video, Cruise spent a year plus preparing for the role.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A year plus.
Yeah, well, that's like saying it was more than a day.
Yeah, day plus.
2 years.
Like 7 hours plus.
Mm-hmm. He, in the end, decided to put on 25 pounds of muscle for the role because, he put on 25 pounds of muscle because of the armor, mostly.
Yeah.
All the battle scenes, he was, like, trying it on and moving around and being like, oh, my knees, my back, this is terrible. So he put on a bunch of strength.
You mean the armor that he wore that was the dead wife's, dead husband of the
wife? Yeah,
right,
the guy that he killed.
Yeah.
100%.
Totally legit.
That's the armor.
That doesn't bother me at all.
Legitimately,
I think it's so
ridiculous.
Cool. It's like so the way of the samurai.
Yeah, I think so too.
At least what I understand from this movie. I don't know anything about them actually at all.
I bought it when you just said that. Yeah, I felt like you knew.
God, you sold it. Yeah. Why did you back off of it? For this laugh we could all have.
Good point.
So the movie was written by John Logan, who we know he also helped pen Gladiator.
Yeah.
He's, you know, really...
But he's the good writer on Gladiator.
He's got to be, because right? He's actually a good writer.
Yeah, not the guy that, like, got the production deal and then wrote King Arthur and didn't even get the third movie, because King Arthur was so bad.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. Is it in here?
No, he's not involved.
No, because he's not in the...
Well, I know that. I wasn't sure if I wrote it down in there. But yeah, so he got famous. He was a playwright. He was a playwright in Chicago, and his big play, Red, based on the artist Mark Rothko.
Yep.
That went to Broadway in 2010, and that received 6 Tonys.
Yeah, Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
Eddie
Redmayne got the best actor, best play of the year. Like, 6 Tonys? That's never been done before. Like, this guy knows what he's doing, and he's very good at it. And you can tell.
That's the way of the samurai.
That's the way of the samurai. And he went on to do Sweeney Todd and Rango, Corleone, Skyfall, Spectre. He's had a very successful career.
And he created Penny Dreadful, which is one of my favorite TV shows.
Yes, and I haven't seen it, but my sister's got it for my mom this Christmas. So
people
I don't know.
Like that show.
Oh my God.
It's got Vesper Lynn in the title role.
I love her.
Really, really good.
David Franzoni. That's the name of the writer from Gladiator.
Yes, that is him. That's the man. You want to talk about Zwick?
So Zwick is like really, really Glory is the thing that like shot him onto the map. Mm-hmm. Shakespeare in Love is a big one for him.
And Traffic.
Yeah, Traffic, Defiance after this movie. He's really a guy who's known for making big historical epics. He's got that big palette in mind. But he jumps around a little bit. He made Love and Other Drugs.
Mm-hmm.
The Siege, which is a really weird movie.
It's the Denzel one, right?
Denzel and Bruce Willis.
Yeah. He does a lot with Denzel.
Yep. And then he actually has the new Jack Reacher movie. Tom Cruise's new one next year. This year, actually. I think it comes out this year.
That could be
year,
sweet.
In October. Yeah, when I watched Reacher again, like, I actually thought it was way sweeter than I had in theaters. It holds up way better. And we'll do it probably in the fall before the second one comes out.
We'll do it on the show.
It's pretty sweet. And I don't know why they made a second one. I guess... Originally when we talked about it.
Yeah, right? Money.
Well, we talked about it at one point on the show, and I think I had said that it flopped. And then one of our fans was kind enough to point out that like it actually made quite a bit of money, and I was totally wrong. And I looked, and I was wrong.
Yeah.
It actually did really well, which
it was more of like a critical flop.
Yeah, it just was bizarre.
And you just didn't think it meant. I mean, I understand where you came from with that. No one talked about it, really. No one thought it made money.
It got panned. No one wanted to see it.
It made money. I mean, it didn't cost a lot either.
No.
Production, let's skip that. We'll talk about it a little bit. Herskowitz and Zwick, they have a production company. They do a lot of movies together. But as Ben said, we're running a little low on time. So.
Yeah. I mean, basically, after Glory, all the stuff in the 90s through currently, they've done together. They have a production company together that they've worked on a lot of the stuff with. This was another movie done with Cruz Wagner.
Yeah.
So before the dissolution of the
was the last one? Was it War of the Worlds was the
I
last
think
one?
The last one was War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah, because originally what happened is the first Mission Impossible in 95, they partnered up because she had been his agent,
I think. Yeah, his agent.
And they decided to form a production company so they could keep more of the profits on the movies they were working on. And they did, like, 11 years of movies together. And then
imagine being the agent for someone that was Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Start off, he's pretty good. He looks like he's getting a lot of work. Okay, he's the biggest star in the entire world.
Yeah.
Yeah, incredible.
You're getting 1% maybe. Cruise took no money for this movie?
Up front.
Yeah, he took the back end.
Yeah, yeah.
He made more money on the back end than he would have up front.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about Cruz. He's done that before, and Cameron does it. He's like, if I make a movie and it doesn't make money, I don't deserve to get paid.
Right.
And I completely agree with that.
100%.
Knowing that there's no way he's going to make a movie that doesn't make money. That's the kind of people who say that.
Right. But then Cruz, he's done movies that don't make money. He's.
I mean, this was like in the tail end of him being – like 2005 is when he ceased to be the biggest movie star in the world anymore.
Yeah.
And he's still gigantic, and he's really swung back. But it's different now. It's just not.
It's very different.
Yeah. So anyway, we can get on to critical and box office.
This is a Warner Brothers movie. It cost $140 million to make in 2003, which is huge. Huge budget.
It looked beautiful, though, and I understand why it cost that
much. Absolutely. I mean, all the extras were all out in, like, rugby fields for days practicing those big battle scenes. You know, it's shot perfectly. It's not on location in Japan, but it's in Australia?
New Zealand, I think.
New Zealand, yeah. And there's places there that look very similar. Yeah. To Mount Fuji and all that. So $140 million, opened December 5th. It only grossed $111 domestically, but it did gross $345 million worldwide, and a lot of it was from Japan, and I was reading about that. So even though I don't know anything about samurai, and we've already made that very clear, apparently the Japanese audience actually felt that they paid pretty good tribute to them and what they're paid homage to the samurai. The only thing was that they thought that they painted Katsumoto as too, like, honorable.
Right.
He was, like, a little more corrupt and, like, just, like,
a little more feared than respected,
of course. I mean, he's the head samurai that's leading a rebellion against the emperor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the other thing that I thought was interesting was they were talking about how it was shifted to him being an American officer as opposed to, I think originally it was a French officer in history or something like that, and it was to make it familiar to the Western audience. But that apparently in the Japanese write-ups, Zwick was commended for differentiating between like traditional and I think more casual Japanese. Which is what Cruz speaks and a lot of samurai speak.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have that in Korean too a lot. There's a way you speak to people that are younger than you and the way you speak to people that are older than you or that you respect. And I don't know because I don't speak Japanese, but the fact that they did that is cool because I always wonder in movies like how accurate it really is.
Well, same thing in Spanish. It's a lot of languages are like that. Yeah. We just don't have it in this country.
I'm just trying to relate to the Asian audience, Roxy.
Cool. I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
I feel like I really hit it on the head that time.
It's really good. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy too. Like, I read that Cruz was not fluent, but like could pretty much speak Japanese by the end of this.
That pisses me off.
Can he not do anything? Yeah. Is there anything this man can't do?
That's annoying. Yeah. Like, I want to stalk him in the face a lot of the time.
He's a samurai that can speak Japanese.
Yeah.
And then in, like, Valkyrie, I mean, he delivers the entire opening.
He actually almost killed Hitler.
Yeah.
Cruz?
Yeah.
Real life.
And invented a time machine.
Yeah.
One before the other.
Look, guys, he's Tom Cruise.
He's Tom Cruise.
Oh.
Let's get on to, I guess we've already really covered that. We can cover Critical. We can show this box office graphic.
Yeah, we can look at that if we want to real quick. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not up there. I mean, you can't beat the Mission Impossible movies.
Oh, it's not up there, like, not high on the list?
Well, it's not in the top five, you know what I mean? Like, they're all Mission Impossible movies. They're always going to be that.
This is the worldwide unadjusted. The adjusted Top Gun is his highest grossing.
Right.
Which is, I mean, that movie made so much money. But and that's just domestic. But, yeah, worldwide, it is interesting. For a movie that is remembered as, like, whatever as this movie seems to be.
Remembered as forgotten, basically.
Well, it's also, do you find it as weird as I do that War of the Worlds and Last Samurai are the only two movies in the top six that aren't Mission Impossible movies, and those are two of the biggest that are, like, the most whatever movies.
Really strange.
Well, it is unadjusted, so you gotta, I mean, the older movies, again, like you said, Top Gun will be at the top, Rain Man would probably be near the top, because they came out around the same time.
Yeah.
So if it was adjusted, it would look a little better, but at the end of the day, you're not going to beat those, the two newest.
Yeah.
Protocol. I mean, Mission Impossible movies.
I mean, we established, like, when we were doing the stuff for the party that, like, the four... Because we came up with four drinks that were correlated to movie names. But we were trying to figure out what are, like, the four or five most iconic Tom Cruise, like, roles or movies. Like, the ones that are the most, you would say to somebody, what are the five movies you think of when you think of Tom Cruise? And it was pretty clearly Top Gun, Jerry Maguire, Risky Business because of the sliding in his underwear, and Mission Impossible. Those were like the consensus four.
And then we did the Days of Thunder drink because we had extra alcohol and we just want to make a cool new drink.
We had the Last Samurai also.
Yeah, we had the Last Samurai. Yeah. We are so smart.
Yeah, it was
great. Amazing.
It's a very good party. There's actually a great picture if you read around on either our Instagrams, or yours is gone now.
I don't have one.
Mine is the same as...
He never had an Instagram.
I did.
Oh, you did?
A year and a half ago.
You knew me.
My Instagram is Ben Bateman Media, and if you guys look up, you can see... Back in June, there's a picture of me and Andrew and our two other buddies, and we're all dressed up in our Cruise costumes.
Two
of us are Vincent from Collateral. He's
Mission Impossible 1,
and then our buddy Jason is Top Gun. He's got the flight suit and the glasses.
Do you have the one from the year before that?
It's also on the Instagram, the Swayze party.
So go back another year, Dirty Dancing, I was Patrick Swayze with a wig, and Ben was Chippendales.
Hair looks nothing like Swayze's, but it's still magnificent hair.
Good. All right, so critically, this movie, 7.7 on IMDb. It got nominated for 4 Academy Awards and... 4 or 5 Golden Globes, I think.
Something like that,
Didn't
win any Academy Awards.
Didn't win anything, really.
It was just up against... I think the four nominations were Ken Watanabe got a nomination, art direction, I want to say, costume design.
I think cinematography.
Art direction, set direction, costume design, sound mixing.
Yeah, sound mixing, I
suppose. And for Globes, it was nominated for 3 different things. Best performance,
both of them,
supporting and... lead actor, and Hans Zimmer was nominated, and this was his 100th score.
Yeah, and he is one of the absolute greatest
of all time. This is his wheelhouse, hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Yeah.
So, Eric Harrison from the Houston Chronicle said, despite the slow-moving and overly reverential parts, Algren's passage from bitter, self-loathing alcoholic to a man renewed and committed is emotionally satisfying in a way many bloated recent Hollywood productions can't accomplish. And that goes right back to, like, why this movie and why the roles when Tom Cruise plays those roles is so good. It's like Denzel with Tony Scott when he plays that guy. I love seeing Cruise do that because he is so charismatic and so full of energy and he commands this presence that when you see someone like that broken and beaten and they have to come back from it, it just like takes me on this journey that I love in movies.
He tried when he was younger to do stuff like that, and I think he didn't. The reason that he's so much better when he's a little older is he's more believable. Because you watch roles like in Days of Thunder when he's Cole Trickle and he first shows up, and it's just like he's really good, but you're also just like, all right, it's just like he's like the brooding hotshot who's going to get frustrated, and he's really cool, and like that's just what he does. And it's like it got a little tired at a certain point, but he couldn't make that transition until he was old enough to really handle it. Which I think the late 90s through the mid 2000s is like the best. So yeah, then we have a rotten review here from Todd McCarthy.
Hate Todd McCarthy.
This is disappointingly content to recycle familiar attitudes about the nobility of ancient cultures, Western despoilment of them, liberal historical guilt, the unrestrainable greed of capitalists, and the irreducible primacy of Hollywood movie stars. What the hell kind of review is this?
I just wanted you to have to say all those hard words because last week I did mine and I butchered it. I was like, I couldn't talk at all. I don't know. I just pulled it because the reason that I pulled it is because this is the argument in layman's terms that most people have with this movie. Why is a white guy the last samurai? That's not what the movie's about. He's not the last samurai. It's the last samurai. It's a whole group of people. They're done.
Yeah.
So this is kind of one of those things where I look at this, and obviously he's probably got – I mean, he just sounds like an asshole.
But legitimately, like, while reading this out loud, like, it was one of those things where you're, like, reading the book and you start thinking about something else. You realize you read half the page without actually, like, learning anything. You have to go back and read it again.
That's exactly what this is. And I think he's just complaining that a movie star that is Tom Cruise is the last samurai in a movie about samurai.
Are multiple samurai samurai or samurais?
Samurai.
Samurai. Yeah. So you're saying that it's all the entire group.
It's the last samurai.
Yeah. Yeah. But because they put the in front of it, wouldn't it just been last samurai?
Not like the last of the samurai.
It's not the last of the samurai.
Well, it's what it's suggesting. The last samurai?
Right. The last Mochicans?
The last samurai?
Day-Lewis.
They are the last samurai. That works.
If it was they are the last samurai.
We've done a lot of this on this episode today.
Well, but I think it is one of those things. Any good movie title, any good like album title, anything like that, they always have. It's like a little bit of like a double meaning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always what you want. It's supposed to suggest that it could be one or the other. I think.
Yeah.
Fucking Tom Cruise on the cover and it says the last samurai.
Right. What are you supposed to think? Yeah.
He's got the hair and the beard, the magnificent hair and beard.
Oh, his hair and beard in this movie are so good.
Yeah.
If I could grow that, I would just have it all the time.
It would look good on you.
Action Movie Anatomy, episode 36. Length, that of Tom Cruise's sweet haircut and beard. Goddamn. Look at that combo.
Look at that. That actually says it on our breakdown. We do. We take this very seriously.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Let's move into favorite line and cue up Chumbawamba again. just kidding. Let's get into our favorite line.
Yeah.
Favorite line?
I got mine. I'll go.
Yeah, once again, just remind everybody, if you do want to tweet at us or comment, let us know what you think. You're welcome to contribute any of these things. It's always fun to hear what you guys think as well. So let's get into our favorite lines.
Yeah, I'm not really on the live chat today. I'll probably read it after I'm done. Sorry about that. But if you post it there, post it on Twitter or YouTube, and we'll see it later.
Yeah, it's easier to because we don't get to see the live chat stuff.
It's hard.
After?
Or else I'm just like this.
Yeah, exactly.
No one wants to see that. favorite line. You want me to kill Japos? I'll kill Japos. You want me to kill the enemy of Japos? I'll kill the enemy of Japos. The Reb, the Sioux, give me $500. I'll basically kill anybody. But keep in mind, I'd happily kill you for free.
Yeah, it's a good line.
So good.
It's good.
That was so good.
Your cruise is getting better.
It's getting better.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to kill you. that's not even a line from the movie.
No, it's not.
What do you got?
I went with when they're dying after like that tragic ending scene, which...
it's brutal.
Maybe the most effective scene in the whole movie.
It is.
Just because it gets to the ending and, like, they have their honor and they, you know, they're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but they do, they're riding, they're getting closer, and you're like, are they going to make the line? Are they going to take anybody out? And they just get torn
mowed
to shreds with a machine gun. And it's really like new world versus old world. And that's the ultimate example of it in the movie. And it's just so sad. And all the horses and everybody.
The horses.
Yeah. I don't care how good you are with any weapon. If you're 100 yards away with a machine gun.
And like, cannons.
You lose.
And they kept going. And he's saying stop. And he wouldn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's like, cease. He's like, stop firing. Yeah. And they all bow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Great scene. But anyway, so they're on the battlefield after all this happens. And Katsumoto looks over at Cruz and he's like, he says, you have your honor again. Let me die with mine. And then he's like, help me up. That's called Harikari, isn't it?
Yeah.
The sword?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Very good.
Mine happened really early on. I write them down as I go, and then I didn't find one that I liked more than this. I think it was like 20 minutes into the movie where he says, no disrespect intended, sir, but shove it up your ass. Oh, yeah. And I was like, wow.
Really good.
I loved that moment.
Who's that?
It's Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
Billy Connolly.
No disrespect, sir. That's not what he sounds like.
No, I was going to do a voice, but then I was like, I can't even imagine it in my head right now.
He's more goofy sounding. Yeah. All right, so we have, oh my gosh, we got our new graphic.
Wait, did you do yours? No, I did mine. Oh, you did your one first. Yeah, okay.
Edged out.
All right, so we have where do the hero and villain rank all time? Look at this.
Look at this, audience.
Andrew, that's actually yours up there, but you're blind.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's both of them, isn't it? Left and right?
No, this is your...
No, it's both. Is it the right side, too?
Yeah, it's both.
It's both.
Also blind. Let's see here. Looks like... Ooh, yay.
So what I did, I ranked both of them. I mean, yeah, we're doing the hero and villain. So I ranked both of them. I ranked Algren and Katsumoto, which I can't believe you didn't rank Katsumoto.
Yeah, it's just like he doesn't like register for me as like just unbelievably awesome. Like I like him a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I mean I like this movie I think more than I like the characters in the movie.
I like him more than I like Cruz.
I do too, I mean, I know. It's like how can I even say that? I'm pulling this up right now just to
help. Did you rank him higher than Cruz?
I did. I'm pretty sure I put Katsumoto at number 7.
No, I don't think you put him that high. Did you? I thought you put him like number 11.
I'm pulling up this thing because I can't see anything at all in my life. Okay, thank you so much. So I put Katsumoto at 13 from Last Samurai, and I think that's good. I put him right behind Ethan Hunt from MI3 because, you know, we all know how I feel about that movie. And then I ranked Algren at 21 behind Creasy for Man on Fire.
That's like a correct ranking for him, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a similarly memorable character who's not like one of the all-timers. And
right.
The same as Creasy. But they're both like really great in their movies.
Yeah, I absolutely love him in
Oh, you got it here? Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I did not rank Katsumoto.
Do you feel like you made a mistake? Because I feel like you made a mistake.
I'm with you, Andrew.
I do feel silly when I see that like John Spartan and Jack Traven are on here and he's not. But he's also just like not a character that when I think about this movie, he's just like, not a character that resonates with me. He's great in it.
Is it just Cruz then? Ogio is sweet.
He is sweet.
Yeah.
I guess for me, it's like Katsumoto doesn't feel like the hero of the movie. He feels like an awesome character in the movie, but not as much like in a way where, like, for instance, Val Kilmer's not the hero in Tombstone.
Right.
But he's way more memorable than...
But I feel like that's who Katsumoto is in this movie.
Maybe. Yeah, it just didn't do it for me.
He saved Cruz's life.
I mean, he's awesome. He's totally awesome. He just didn't do it for me. Really? I put Nathan Algren at number 42. I put him one behind Brian Mills and ahead of Max Rortansky from Fury Road.
You hate that movie.
I think he's awesome. Watch it again. Well, he's like awesome, but he does nothing in that movie.
And you didn't rank Katsumoto, so okay. All right, well, let's go on to we'll go on to movie rankings. You can give me that.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, thank you.
Yeah, Jonathan, that is an incredible graphic. I love it, and it's
so
got
cool.
So many good pictures from all the movies that we've done.
Yeah, you see holidays in there.
Yeah, that's of awesome. Course. So for my top movies. I put him it was kind of tough because I really like this movie a lot and the bias is clear.
Yeah.
I put it at number 9.
That's so high.
It's so
high.
Like you have like on this list. Okay. So like you putting it ahead of Live, Die, Repeat, totally fine. You don't
love
that movie.
Kill Bill, Air Force One, Casino Royale, MI3, Fugitive, like Rocky IV.
It's ahead of The Fugitive. It's ahead of Air Force One.
This movie,
that surprises
like the
me.
Whole. I mean, it's probably because I hadn't watched it in so long. But the whole time watching it, I was like,
"This is
this is." I kept being like, "This is so sweet."
Yeah, it is a really sweet movie. But I don't know, number 9.
Yeah, I mean, I put it reasonably high, but not 9. I put it number 17.
Okay.
So for me, it's behind Predator, and it is one ahead of Tombstone.
Right, and I am one ahead of Man on Fire, and one behind. Live, Die, Repeat.
Like the few after it for me, it goes Last Samurai 17, then it goes Tombstone, The Patriot, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation.
I love that you like it more than Tombstone.
And then right ahead of it, see, it's a way better movie than Tombstone.
Yeah.
It doesn't have performances as good, but it's just a better movie.
Katsumoto's.
Yeah. it's just not as memorable. I mean, Doc Holliday is so good. But anyway, and then right ahead of it, I have Minority Report, Bourne Identity, Mission Impossible 3, Man on Fire.
Right.
So to me, that's exactly how I feel about it. It's like really, really good. Not quite as good as, like, those are all classics. I mean, I have Fury Road. I have it. Fury Road's number 11 on here.
Yeah.
So, clearly I don't hate it that much.
Okay, whatever. Do you want to introduce the recast since you started to talk about it earlier?
Yeah, so when I was ranting like a moron during thesis statement.
It was only like 5 minutes, guys.
what was happening was we thought about this movie, and really the only actor of note who we could recast. Like, somebody who has comps is Tom Cruise.
Well, and Tony Goldwyn.
Tony Goldwyn.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you really have to get into an entire different genre of movies because they cast all authentic Japanese actors.
Right. If we're being honest with you guys, we don't know those other movies. We don't know the actors from Japan.
And it would be disingenuous to just, like, take all of, like, the Japanese or Japanese-American actors, Korean actors that we do know who are in American movies and just, like, insert them. Because
Steve Yuen could be Katsumoto.
Yeah. It would be foolish of us.
We would look like idiots.
So the real question, and this is what
we already do that enough.
I like your guys' honesty.
And so I'll introduce this now. This is what I was trying to say earlier. So when you think about making this movie, you're going to put $140 million behind making a historical epic that you want to be remembered in the same way as Gladiator, as Braveheart, mm-hmm. as these other gigantic movies, right? To get this movie made at the quality that it's going to get made, you need a movie star who can sell it.
Yep.
A movie star who is of the quality to learn all of it, to do it right, to sell the character. And on top of that, you need the movie to be, like, the actual production to be of the quality that Edzwick made this. Now, to do that, who else could you have cast in 2003 if it was made with somebody other than Tom Cruise that would have had this movie on a different level, remembered in a different way, really remembered in the way of those other movies?
Right.
My argument is there's no one else.
And I can agree with that. I do. It was pretty hard for me to come up with my recast because what we originally said when we were sitting there talking about doing recasts was like, who would we cast in this so that people would take it seriously? People did take this seriously. It was a very good movie. And after watching it again and reading about it, yeah, he did great. He was pretty much perfect. If I had to pick someone else, I was able to come up with one other person. And even then, it'd be Brad Pitt. And the reason why is because he's the same age.
Yeah.
He's got the acting chops. People liked him. He didn't oversaturate the market yet in 2003.
Yeah.
The other person that I thought would be cool would be Johnny Depp. But that was the same year Pirates came out. I don't even like Johnny Depp anymore, honestly. It's a shame. And I don't think he'd be believable in it. But if I had to pick someone... If I had to, it'd be Brad Pitt.
My feeling was when I thought about both of those guys, Depp was the closest. Depp and Daniel Day-Lewis were the two that I came to where I was like, this is as close as I can get. Pitt, I couldn't do because I don't think he's as good of an actor as Cruise.
Really?
But I think he's a similar kind of actor in the sense that it's rare. It's rare I watch him and I'm like, Cruise will sometimes transform into a character, but most of the time, I'm like, this is Brad Pitt doing a really good job, which is exactly what Cruise does. And I don't think.
I think Brad Pitt is a much better character actor than Cruise.
Well, either way, I still don't think that it makes the movie better.
I don't think it makes it better.
Because it's still just a white guy being a samurai. And that's the only reason I said about Depp, I think what could have happened is if right when the craze of Depp happened, right when Pirates came out.
Which was the same year.
Yeah. I think if maybe this had come out the next year, I think maybe, just maybe, this could have been remembered the way that it should have been.
I think if it came out the year before, it'd be better for him.
I had him down too.
Really?
Think about
Depp in the early 90s?
He was like a really high B-lister, but not somebody you could put $140 million. Because remember...
Didn't they put $140 million into him on Pirates, though?
Yeah, but that's like a Disney movie for kids with a huge cast of other people. I mean, Orlando Bloom
was in... I don't know if
I
agree with this.
Orlando Bloom was in the movie, and he had just been in all the Lord of the Rings movies. Mm-hmm. Like, Depp's the only guy in this movie you put him in it. So you have to... If you're going to put $140 million behind it, you don't have a single other American name on the movie. Mm-hmm. So if the audience doesn't buy into this actor, they're not going to see the movie. There's no one else supporting it.
What are you trying to say over here?
Well, I'm looking right now because I do think that Depp had the support behind him. It wasn't originally what I was going to say, but 2001, he was in Blow, massive for him.
Dude,
Chocolat, Chocolat in 2000, which was really big for him too. I Fear and Loathing in 98.
I mean, he wasn't
Donnie
Tom
Brasco.
Cruise. He wasn't Tom Cruise until next year.
Wood,
I do understand what you're saying.
After Pirates,
but I still
right.
think he had more going for him than you let on. That's all.
Ultimately, he's who I wrote down.
Yeah, me too.
He's the last guy settled
on Pitt. Yeah,
but he's as close as you get. Like Daniel Day-Lewis, I don't think could sell $140 million.
I don't think he'd even want to do this movie. Honestly.
I had a really hard time with this one
too. What'd you do?
Depp was down as I wrote four names down on a piece of paper and decided I'd walk in here and try to make an argument for one of them, and I'm finding it very difficult to do that for any. Depp was the one that I was going to try, but as you're saying it, I don't know if he could. The clip that we showed earlier, I don't think he could do that.
I don't think any of these guys
could do that. I don't
think
that he could even come close to doing that.
Yeah.
And the people that I think that could come close to doing that, I don't think would give the performance he did, i.e., like Bruce Willis or something like that,
which
he would butcher the rest of it. So I don't know. After Gladiator, maybe Russell Crowe.
He was another one.
Yeah.
Jackman was another one I had too, but he didn't have the star power.
Yeah, he was just shy.
And then I was thinking Robert Downey Jr., but I don't know. It's really tough.
Yeah, like the other guy, the first guy that I originally wrote down was Crow. And then I was like, okay, he can't do it though because this would have been perceived like the Patriot was for Gibson if he had done it because it was like Braveheart the Patriot. Right. Would have been Gladiator,
Last Samurai.
Last Samurai. And it's like, how are we really supposed to? At that point, the audience didn't want that from
him. Well, Beautiful Mind would have been in between that though.
01. Yeah, right, but it's 2000, still, it's 2001. And then it would have been 03. He would have done this. I mean, because then if you remember, he did Cinderella Man the next year.
Right.
And that was another like, not a flop, but one of those movies that it's like everybody's just like, I don't care anymore.
You know, the audience is sitting here saying Christian Bale, and I looked at Christian Bale, but he's 11 years younger than Cruise, and I don't think he would have had the look for it. I don't know if it would have been – because he looked young.
I don't think anybody could have been younger than Cruise in this. Cruise was just about as young as I was going to push.
Well, and then another
– a lot of people think Christian – there's four – yeah, three people. I just don't agree.
Bale would have been great.
I put him first. He was the first person I looked up, but when I looked at him and what he was doing at the time, his star power and his age.
And he's even less star power at that time than – Depp,
yeah,
because he hadn't done Batman yet, so you're talking about his two major roles that people were talking about at that point were American Psycho and most recently The Machinist because he lost all that weight. And I think that was maybe the next year, to be honest.
Might have been.
I think American Psycho at that point was 2000, so that's the big one that everybody's like, oh, he was so great. It's such a cult classic. You can't put him with $140 million and a bunch of Japanese actors and expect people to go see the movie. It's not going to make this kind of money.
No, he would have been great, seen it.
Though. He would have killed
him. Yeah, he would have done. He's incredible. All right. Do you want to get in the last category?
Yeah. Absolutely. Which of the three action movie categories does this fit into?
This is tough.
Yeah, it is really hard. So there's three action movie categories on the show that we talk about, guys. Those three categories are totally ridiculous. That's movies like Face Off, Con Air, movies that just lose legitimacy by being too silly, but they're awesome, but they're really silly. Movies that are totally legitimate. So that's going to be like, say, Die Hard, in our opinion, Terminator 2, The Fugitive. Mm-hmm. They do exactly what they're supposed to do. You laugh when you're supposed to laugh. You're engaged when you're supposed to be engaged. They don't ever really make you chuckle unintentionally. And then there are movies that are ridiculously legitimate, which is the hybrid category, usually our favorite category on the show. Movies like Point Break, The Rock, Speed. They just sort of have that in between. Everything's awesome. They're really compelling. There's a couple great performances, or at least one. But there's a lot of moments that just really are silly. Predator is like...
It's the perfect.
Sort of like the perfect one.
Yeah. I need to go last on this one. I can't do it.
Okay, I'll go first.
Yeah.
It was really close to being totally legitimate for me until it was ridiculously legitimate. And that I just can't wrap my head around some of the plot. So it's ridiculously legitimate.
We hate the plot.
The sister? Is it the whole wife thing?
That's it.
That's the biggest thing.
I could never be married to somebody and then invite the guy into the home that killed my husband and the father of my children and then give him the armor and, like, give him the looks. And there's those a couple moments.
The looks.
And there was a couple of moments where, like, she took off his shirt and I giggled out loud. Yeah. It was like that eye-staring contest thing. And I was like, I felt uncomfortable and it was... legitimately ridiculous and ridiculously legitimate.
Yeah. It's right in the middle, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, I went with totally legitimate. And it's...
Really?
Yeah, it's so close. I mean, it's yeah. I was having the same feeling you were having because there's totally moments that I'm laughing. And, like, you made a great point when we were talking about this off camera. Like, when he rides up and he sees Tony Goldwyn, and Tony Goldwyn looks at him and he's like, good God.
Yeah.
That's like, as an audience, right? Like, you're kind of feeling that. You're like... what the hell is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom Cruise. You're Tom Cruise. And you're...
what are you doing
in a samurai
here?
Costume.
Yeah.
What are you... like... but at the end of the day, I think almost every single movie that I think of as totally legitimate that's not in the action genre, movies that are just like dramas, if I sat there and I was looking for a reason to pick it apart, like if I was looking for a couple moments, two or three moments maybe, that made me like roll my eyes, or I could come up with them if I wanted.
Yeah.
And I could convince myself on most movies that I love.
You know what? Yes. That's exactly where I'm at. I'm going to cut you off and I'm going to jump in right there and be like, that's why this movie is totally legitimate for me too. I have to look for the moments. I have to search them out and think about it really hard. Whereas like when we did the Predator episode and you were like, it's totally legit.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what about these, and these? I don't have those moments in this movie.
Yeah.
There's a couple like...
okay, think about his inner monologue as he's going, like, I will never understand the way of these people.
I like the inner monologue. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't either.
Ridiculous.
He didn't even speak their language.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. After, like, a year. It was
after
ridiculous.
A year. I mean, imagine. I mean, he's been known as a linguist.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm gonna go totally legitimate. Like, the very end, tell me how he died.
That's my least favorite line in the whole movie. I'll tell you,
it's the worst. It's the worst line.
I think it
ridiculous.
Almost ruins the movie. Like, not
very close.
That line to me almost like
the Emperor almost ruins the movie.
He's just bad. Yeah,
Katsumoto.
don't do it.
He doesn't ever say that.
No. But he's a sissy.
Well, that's
sissy.
What he said in my head, too.
Yeah right?
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're running a little short on time. So we're in agreement, two totally legitimate and tub thumping? Is that what?
That's where my vote goes.
Ridiculously legitimate. So we are going to do the pitch right now, guys. Mm-hmm. This is the thing we've introduced recently, and this is the interactive part of the show where we get to give you three options for next week's show. We're going to do 30 seconds pitching each one. You know, there's three movies here, and there's only two of us to pitch three movies.
Right.
Roxy, do you want to just, like, have the de facto pitch one of these movies? Do you feel comfortable pitching either?
No.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Like I'm panicking. Don't make me.
We won't do that, then. We're not going to make her do
okay,
that.
Okay. Think of it a number between 1 and 10.
13.
What?
What? I'm on the spot. I don't know. 40.
1 and 10.
7.
Actually, we can't pitch 13 hours because neither of us have seen it. So that's the third option.
13.
All right. So option number one, guys, for next week is 13 Hours, which is the Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. It's Michael Bay's new movie. It's a like a sweet like war type movie with – doesn't it have from The Office? What's his name?
John Krasinski.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And he got all jacked.
He's from
Newton. Yeah. And there's a bunch of – it just looks sweet. Like Michael Bay directed The Rock. It's like the best movie ever.
Yeah.
Sometimes he misses hard. Sometimes he totally slays as an action director. And this one might be really sweet. So we probably should do it on the show at some point. That is option number one. Option number two, do you want to pitch
for me? Yeah, I will do option number two. Option number two is Drive. And we know that this is like – it's a little drama heavy for sure. But we've done a couple movies like that on the show. But it's so good. And it fits all the rules. Like Ryan Gosling plays by his own rules. So does the bad guy. There's an explosion.
It's got that 80s action thing going on.
He's total, so dreamy.
He's so hot. It's got the 80s action feel going on. It's got the sweet music, the scenes, the driving scenes. And Oscar Isaac, my spirit animal's in it.
The music is a
I'm not going to that club.
You a night call.
Yeah, it's so good. Night Call by Savinsky. All right, so that's Drive. I think Drive would be great on the show. I'm happy to do the other movie too, though, which is...
So Drive is sweet. I should just point out, like, we know that it's a little drama heavy. I agree with you. It's on the edge for us. He beats the shit out of people. There's a sweet, like, corny villain, and he's a badass hero. So, like... Yeah. It almost fits.
And Cranston's in it. He's so good.
And Cranston's fantastic. The last movie, guys. This is a true classic. It's Face Off. It's John Woo's Face Off, starring
so good.
None other than John Travolta and Nick Cage. Now, if you were going to come up with like sort of like the holy 10 that would define this show when we came up with the show, like
this is
100% Speed, Con Air,
Fugitive.
The Rock, Face Off, Fugitive, Point Break. This is one of those movies. It's like we only have so many that we get to do, and this is one. We haven't talked about doing it yet, so...
we reference it every single week on the three categories.
You know what category it's going to be if you watch the show. it's a sweet movie. We'll eventually do it if we don't do it this week. So Drive, Face Off, 13 Hours. We're going to put that up on Twitter, AMA Podcast. Go vote. Let us know what you think, what you want to see. And remember, 2 weeks from today, in studio, we're going to be doing Warrior, directed by Gavin O'Connor,
written
by Anthony Tambakis. Sitting next to us in the chairs, Gavin O'Connor and Anthony Tambakis for a live interview about one of our favorite movies ever made. We're going to have them in studio, doing a full hour-long interview.
I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be cool. I'm going to sweat a lot, and I'm going to say dumb things.
Yeah.
But I'm excited.
January 27th, guys.
Yeah.
Tune in, 3 p.m. Let your friends know and find us on Twitter. Let us know what you think. AMA Podcast. I'm Ben Bateman Media.
I am at Andrew Guy.
I'm Roxy Stryer. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, sis. Thanks, Susan.
Thanks for sitting in, guys.
Yeah.
Take care, guys. Can we cue on tub thumping, maybe? No?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.